Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Cass Thomas. Cass is a successful business entrepreneur and communication expert who inspires clients to discover their unique brand of magic. The depth and range of her life and career experiences inspires people to explore more choices and find the changes they're looking for. A best-selling author, Cass is a catalyst for unity and believes there is so much more that unites us than separates us. Boy, do I agree with that. Thanks so much for joining me today, Cass.
Thank you so much for having me, Lady Diana.
Absolutely. So, the timing of this is so great. So, I want to start with this idea of communicating in a calm and intuitive manner seems to be becoming harder to do. So, you know, what insights can you give us about how we can, I don't know, improve our communication skills, especially in this sort of climate?
Absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, to recognize a lot of times people are interested in, just like you said, improving their communication skills with others, you know, and yeah. So putting others before them. And so many people over the years have asked me about, you know, how is it that you communicate with so much ease with others? And as a child, I was always, you know, concentrating on others, bombarding them with maybe with laugh, trying to get them to really have more ease. But when I started really first connecting with me and being willing to communicate with me, acknowledge really how even my body communicated with me, which we might interpret as, you know, burping or, you know what I mean, or having a pain, but recognizing the you know, symbols and ways that your awareness show up for you. You know, if your heart starts beating fast, is it something that's going on with someone else? Is it something that you're aware of that you're not acknowledging? So it's a really, this life is a journey, you know, and this connection, when we connect with ourselves first and begin acknowledging what's different and unique about us, what is the way that we communicate with ourselves? How do we get awareness about what's going on in our lives? Then it becomes much easier to recognize when we're not connected with ourselves, when we're not having ease communicating with ourselves, with our bodies, you know? And so we can reconnect not only with ourselves, but also with other people in a very different way, you know? And it's so interesting when you, when you're connected with yourself, you're in line, the way I say it, with your own vibration and recognizing what's different about you. You know, there's so much more that unites us than separates us. But what's different about us, a lot of times we consider it a default, a limitation, something that we have to improve on. But it's actually something that will allow people not only to see us, right? But maybe, if they're willing, also to see themselves. Right. So just to respond to your question in a short way, obviously, right? But it can be a bit overwhelming in this particular period, communicating with people, not because it's difficult, but because you're getting so much more awareness on what's going on in other people's lives. And you may feel a bit bombarded by that. And they may feel a bit bombarded by that. But if you are connected with yourself, you are recognizing your genius, your genuine, authentic way of being, then it's actually an invitation for other people to directly connect with you instead of trying to adapt to the surface or the image or the mask that you have on. Does that make sense?
You know, it really does. And I love this idea for a couple of reasons. One, I feel like we have a tendency to pay a lot more attention to how someone else is showing up than how we are showing up ourselves. And this feels empowering to me, you know, that we can be better at communicating when we are more aware of how we show up in different situations.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're not alone here on planet Earth, even if we live alone and if we don't go out that often, we're always online, but it's still, there are so many people around, you know, and we have these sensorial organisms in our bodies that actually give us a ping when something is going on with someone we know, with something that we should be doing, with something that, you know, should be showing up. And if we, for us, and if we are going into resistance about that, how much are we also blocking out the possibilities we have of communicating with other people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so once you're connected with yourself, and when I began really, let's say, concentrating on the connection first and foremost with myself, everyone said, "Diane, wow, you're so generous." When I was spending all my time, you know, trying to make others happy, you know, they saw it as selfish, you know.
So
isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So, you know, what if you are actually honoring yourself first and not ever making yourself wrong, you know, or trying to do it in a different way. Yeah. Your job, you're the only one available for your job of being you, you know, and everyone else's job is taken being themselves. So, and then the way you can really engage with people is quite different. And when you're willing to recognize what's unique and different about you, then you know, well, if I've got something different and I'm, you know, unique and different, everybody must be, even if it's, you know, the most sad person on the planet. That's unique. That's different. Yeah. How's that showing up? And when people don't feel judged by what's different about them, then they really just lower their barriers and they open up to you. And a lot of people, especially people who are resistant or have barriers up, you know, Diane, if you're willing to actually approach them in a different way, you recognize that they're some of the kindest people in the world, and they are just trying to protect themselves. And the way that manifests, the way that shows up, seems like, oh, they're rude, or they're, you know, not even listening to me or talking to me. They're just trying to protect their heart, protect their, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So if something strange, and this is anyone listening, if something strange shows up with someone, interesting. What can I observe if I'm willing to look at it from their perspective? Maybe their day, how did their day show up? You know, how did they wake up this morning? What's going on in their lives that they are actually distant from me? Some people are so busy judging themselves that really don't have any time to judge you. You know what I mean? They're like, oh no, my plate is full. I can't judge you. And so you might be picking up on that.
Well, right. And I love that too, because we really do. We are so quick to decide we know why someone is reacting the way that they are, communicating the way they are, when the truth is we really don't know. So if we can be more curious and say, you know, let me ask, let me find out, we can actually help the other person explore and talk about what's going on and maybe get to the other side of whatever it is.
Absolutely, especially if we're doing, coaching or workshops or something, which I do a lot of. And, the question I would ask, in what way can I ask this person that won't be offensive, you know? And so a lot of times what I would suggest, is saying, wow, do you know sometimes what shows up for me is, and you might just tell them what it is you're picking up from them and ask them, does that ever show up for you? And if they say no, then they're not willing to actually acknowledge it at the moment. But if they say yes, and you say, wow, how do you deal with that? And then they will actually share with you what you were picking up on. Because when you were saying that you don't know cognitively, because we can't really, linearly figure that out.
Yeah.
But if we ask them and share, because we're actually having that, we're picking up on it. So it's actually part of our lives too, right? So it's not that you're lying. You're actually just saying, sometimes this shows up for me. You might not say it's showing up for me with you. But when we're talking about communication, and then they start sharing some of the ways that they have to do it that are quite different. I do a lot of teaching and facilitating and stuff, and people ask me questions in my workshops and stuff, and I so want to give them, I've got so much information about it, I so would like to give them. However, if I ask them what they know about it, what they share also expands my awareness, my approach to the conversation. What they share is something they know, because everybody knows a little bit about everything, and they may not even acknowledge it. They may not even have an awareness about, oh no, I can't be an accountant because I don't know anything about that. But when they play in that role, the questions that they need to ask someone in order to be an accountant for them are questions that normal accountants don't ask, and so it'll give you a different approach to, business, making money, doing your accounting, that, that's just an example, the accounting that you probably have never considered before. So when you, and that's the about it, connecting with you, you begin to recognize that you have talents and abilities, that you may not even have acknowledged. And then, curiosity, which keeps you young. If I have some talents and abilities that I didn't even acknowledge before, I wonder what this group of people, this audience, this person has as a capacity that I have never even observed before. How can I actually invite them, just like you said, Diane, to explore that? What is a question I can ask them that they will begin opening up to their knowledge, and we can engage in a completely different way?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And do you think, this may sound like a weird question, but do you think that...
I love weird questions.
Just I figured.
If it's a, and when you say, before you even say it, I'm just excited. I just want to get, just
gosh,
share what's going on. And that's exactly what I was saying to do. I love it, right? Share what's going on. And so instead of going, oh my goodness, I'm going to need to, respond in a way that, I'm actually saying, wow, what is that question she's about to ask me going to open up?
Right.
That maybe I've never even looked at in this way.
Yeah, I love that. That is a great way.
So go, approach it. Go.
Okay, so here we go. So do you think that, can women do anything to communicate differently in, work settings? Or, does it really not matter how they communicate? It comes down to the other party and how they process and perceive the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when you're in a work setting, are you just a woman? Are you just a man?
Right.
And so if you're working, if you're connected with you, right? And you're looking to communicate with someone through a work setting, what if you actually acknowledged that that's a form of life, that work setting, you know what I mean? So yeah. What if you were actually using that as the point of departure and not necessarily, and then you joining for who you are and not necessarily thinking you have to do it like a woman. Because, yeah. You know, I mean, you've heard of the yin and the yang, you know? And so we all have moments at which what's defined in this world as a woman, that we, you know, or if we have children, that we're being the mother. But sometimes, you know, the dads are being the mother and we're being the dads, what's defined, okay, if you're the one that's supposed to be going and working, and you know what I mean? Yeah. So if you're actually aware that you have both the capacity, let's say, to be a man, or to approach it as a man, and maybe there's a man that can approach it as a woman, would you be willing to look at it from the other side of the fence? You know what I mean? And see and explore what that is, seeing it really from 360 degrees, but also 180 degrees, looking at it from the other side. Well, if I were a man, well, what would I have a different approach here?
Right.
Just had a, there's a, one of my Seven Steps teachers, and she's living in India, and she's a doctor also. And so somebody asked her, so what's the, Sasha is her name. So it's just did an interview with her. So who is Sasha and who is Dr. Sasha? Huh. Yeah. And the response that she gave to that in the interview was very different. Oh, Sasha's lazy and blah, 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 you know, and Dr. Sasha will take care of anything and do anything. So if you, so women in approach to communication and business, if you were a man, and you might want to just ask yourself that, if you were a man, how would you approach it in a different way?
You know? Would you approach it in a, yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah. And maybe the response to that, and let them say, actually, just like you just said, actually, I wouldn't approach it in a different way. And that, right. Boom, that opens you up. Okay, so I'm actually not approaching this as a woman. I'm approaching this as the, you know, the human being that I am.
Right.
You know, and right. So then all the resistance. And that in that is an invitation when you're approaching it in that way. That's an invitation for other people to not approach it as, you know, a gender, you know, from a gender. It's so interesting that this particular week, there's the beyond gender. It's the so if we were really willing to approach communication with ourselves and with others beyond gender, how could it become really flawless?
Yeah.
And begin dancing.
Yeah.
With in rhythm with who you are, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I really love that because I never saw myself as like communicating as a woman. I mean, my father was a bigger influence for me than my mother when it came to work. And so, and my parents never had these, you know, gender specific, you know, roles, right? And we weren't raised with them. So I was just told I could do whatever I wanted to do as long as I was willing to do the work. There was no added, you know, except you're a woman or a certain kind of work or whatever. So I just proceeded as who I was. But I noticed early on in my career that people were interacting with me as I am a woman, not I am a director of operations or I am a supervisor. You know, when I like people put those labels on things, and then sometimes that it seems like that informs how they interact.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, a couple of, you know, things that just, you know, part for me, I have a friend, she's a young gal, and she grew up with two men, you know, she had two fathers, they had her together, they were married, the two guys, so she actually never grew up with a mom, in a woman's body, you know what I mean? And so the girl, you know, now she's just graduated from college, the woman that she is quite unique. It's not duplicating her mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The mom's figure. So and she, you know, she is in a woman's body. And then you know, the women that really have grown up without moms, or who are have grown up without fathers, it's like, what is it that they might actually learn if they're willing to look at it from the perspective of, how can I use being a woman to my advantage?
Right.
Like when I moved, I moved from the States over 20 years ago to Italy. And I had been, you know, originally from Boston, living in New York. And, you know, at that time, you know, women's rights or whatever, you know, I saw once a woman in New York, you know, smack a guy who had opened the door for her. Right. So, you know, so then I'm go to Italy. And it's so funny. It's they really love the beauty of women. And, you know, you might be talking to someone even in business, and they're, you know, looking at your two eyes, which are just below your heart, you know, your breast, right?
Yeah.
So initially for me, that was like, oh no, I, you know, don't talk to me, it's a woman, etc. Then I was like, how can I use this to my advantage? And when I went there, I opened up a film production company for the first time with another American. And then I was doing short film festivals, but the way I was doing it, it had never been done before. And those are the words I learned first in Italian. You can't do that. It's never been done before, and it can't be done, right? And so I was like, well, great. If it's never been done before, then let's do it, right? And I said, I wonder how I can use being a woman to get the approval to do this. So nice cleavage. They were just, you know, entranced by my cleavage, and they were like, oh, sure, yes, try it. You know, and it was a business situation. It wasn't like, you know, if you're willing to use that, how people think about women, feel about women, and it's different for other people. These people think women are in a lower position. Okay, let me approach it from a lower position and see if I can get accomplish what I'd like to accomplish. Or these people think women are the queens. Okay, let me step up and be from the queen position, and they will, you know, lay out the red carpet for me. So when you're connected, and this is what I'm saying, when you're connected with you and you have clarity about what it is, that the gift that you would like to be for the world and also receive from the world, when you have clarity about that and it is in line with your vibration, then you're willing to do whatever it takes to get there while honoring you, not dishonoring anyone else, but being and engaging and playing, not becoming someone or something different, but playing in whatever way you need to do that. And once you don't have any resistance or reaction or judgment about how people are responding to you, because it may be, Diane, it may just be the way they communicate. And I remember my husband once was saying to me, you got to do this. You got to do it this way about my business. You got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. And then I said, I am not doing it that way. That doesn't work for me. And he was like, Hey, hold on. Of course you have success in business. I was just, you know, sharing with you what I thought might work. That's just the way I say it, you know? And it was such a gift for him to say that. And I was like, wow, how many people actually communicate in a way that we observe as aggressive or not respectful, you know, that is actually just the way they communicate.
Boy, you know, I think that is a huge statement, and I am so grateful for it, because when you were saying that, I was thinking of people I know who my instant reaction is, don't tell me what to do. But what I'm hearing is they're not necessarily in their mind, they're not telling me what to do. It's just how they share information. It's just how they communicate. And so, I don't need to give it that energy.
Absolutely.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.
And also women, I have a friend, we were at a dinner together and I had just seen her for the first time in years. And it was a celebration of a woman who had passed away. And she was telling me what to eat, how to eat it, et cetera. And I just had to, initially my reaction was, hello, darling, we're both queens.
Yeah.
So you don't tell me how to eat and I'm not going to tell you how to eat or what to eat. Exactly. And what I realized, though, and we sat side by side, and what I realized, though, and she said, okay, is how much she was just expressing her joy to be with me and wanting to care for me and take care for me, of me and interact with me and help me. And that's the way it showed up for her, you know? So if we're willing to really get out there in the world with different people, it's not going to be the same way we communicate or we have had communication in our lives when we have a restricted environment. But if we're actually willing to expand our zones, our business, our interaction with people, it's going to be different. And what about a curiosity and to be amazed at the different ways that people communicate? And how is it that you can engage with them in a way that will give you more ways to communicate as well?
Yeah, I totally get that. So let's talk some about finding your voice, because I feel like that this is what we're talking about. So what does that mean to you, finding your voice?
Well, it means so much that's connecting with you, but also a lot of times we just talk from the voices from our throat. You can hear the difference in the way I'm talking now, right? Uh-huh. And then if we go a little bit deeper, we're actually talking, including our heart. And if we go a little bit deeper, we're actually including all of our vibration in the way we communicate to people. And people love hearing my voice, and I was like, wow, what is that? And it's my voice. It's different, and so is everyone else's voice. But if we're just talking from our throats, it's not including the vibration of who we are and the way we communicate. And so when you're actually speaking from the inside out, you're actually sharing with people what's unique and different about you. So finding your voice is really about finding connecting with your inner vibration and getting that out there into the world, and you will see who and what shows up. And I really work with people on that, and it becomes much easier for you to talk, for you to sing. People say, oh, I don't know how to sing. And we all know how to sing. It may not be a professional singer, but your when you are speaking and getting your, not just your point across, but your, let's say, vibe across, you know, then it's maybe two or three sentences verbally, but it's about 10 to 20 sentences beyond words that you're sharing with people. And they actually get inspired to communicate to you and with you in a way that is really a contribution to whatever your conversation is.
Okay, so I want to go a little deeper with this. What are some things that someone can do to find that voice, to project that confidence, and not let someone, you know, another person's opinion get the best of them?
Well, the, you know, when I talk about, and you know, in my, with my, you know, my books too, right? The, and mm-hmm. programs, the seven steps, I work with Access Consciousness, the Dancing with Riches. When you're connecting, the first and foremost thing is to recognize, I call it your unique brand of magic. In business, we call it your unique selling point. You know, if you had a, and what does that mean? If you have one supermarket next to the other or a nail shop next to the other, what would make someone come to yours, right?
Right.
Only there's just some, I don't know why, I just like to go to this one here. It just makes me feel good, you know? So really, first and foremost, begin acknowledging what is different and unique about you. What is something that you do that everyone else does or so many other people do, but the way you do it is slightly different? Because it's so easier for us to see that about other people. But it really does take a little bit of time for us to begin recognizing that about ourselves. And it may, you know, be something that you've identified, well, I'm really impatient, or, you know, identified as something that's wrong with you. I'm really impatient. And whatever that is, you might want to make a list of 10 things that, you know, that you think you're really great at, and 10 things that you think that you're not so great at, like being patient, right? And looking at those things that you think you're not great at from a different perspective, like we were saying before, from 180 degrees. So what is being impatient? Well, how much are you maybe able to see what is coming up in the future? So someone's maybe talking to you, right? And maybe this is about you too. You probably have that too. Like, you know how when you feel a little impatient, how much are you already in the future and already connected with the future and know what's going to happen? So it's not something unkind that you are being impatient, for example. It's actually something that's unique about you, that you're able to see how something is going to fall out or come or manifest. Yeah. If you some people say, oh, I'm not that comfortable talking with, you know, as, you know, like other people. Well, is that a problem? Is that a limitation? Or are you one of the maybe few people that enjoy listening to others, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. So really just taking some time to see that. And also recognizing your intuition, you know, I call it talking to your body, you know, and recognizing your intuition, your gut feeling, your sixth sense, your, you know what I mean? And how you actually can be aware when something works for you and something's right. So many people are like, oh no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm definitely gonna do this other thing. Oh no, I don't want this to eat. I would like something else. Are you really quite connected with your intuition, your capacity to know what is going to create more for you, more joy, more ease, more abundance when you choose it? And that first connecting with you allows you, gives you the capacity to connect with other people and never feel wrong, you know, because, you know, somebody, something might not work for someone else, and you might be sorry that it doesn't work for them, but you don't feel like you're wrong.
Right.
It's just that it works. This works for me. So I'm sorry that it doesn't work for you. can you tell me what it is that you would like, but not feeling like you're wrong. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's why the connecting with you is really important, so that you can acknowledge what some of the wealth, the riches of your life are, and not feel badly when other people are not seeing it, you know, and see and invite people to share with you, what is it, how is it that I can do this in a way that works for you? And I'll let you know if it works for me. And yeah, maybe we can meet someplace in the middle. You know what I mean?
I do. I think that is great. Yeah.
And if not, oh, well, maybe this isn't the time.
Yeah.
Maybe this isn't the time. If something changes for you, let me know. If something changes for me, I'll let you know. And if when that change occurs, we're still interested in collaborating or having a relationship, great.
Right. You
know? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And so often, not going away from the conversation or from the contract or whatever that is, whatever area of your life that is, with judgment, it leaves people really some space to think about, I know this was not working for me, but I actually felt comfortable in this. What maybe can I explore? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a big difference, right? I mean, it changes the whole energy around whatever the situation is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it will show up again for you in so many different ways when you're actually not willing to.
Yeah.
Right. You know that too. How many times, you know, it's like, wait a minute, this is like my third relationship and there's no difference. You notice it after a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I'm just there paying attention. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Cass, this is so great. I really appreciate the conversation, and it has brought up so many really great things for me that I know it has for the listeners as well. So thank you so much for joining me today. And will you let the listeners know, you know, how they can find you, how they can find your books, things like that?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, well, CassThomas.com, CassThomas.com is my website. And the books, they're all even in different languages on Amazon.com, or just going to the website, CassThomas.com, and scrolling down, you'll see where to find whatever form a book you would like, if you want the ebook or the audiobook or the, yeah. And so I have two books, Seven Steps to Flawless Communication with the, it's so simple, and it's great with the workshops. And that's in 20 languages. And the second book, mine is called Dancing with Riches, and good workshop on that. And I just did a song, Diane.
What, really?
Getting out there. I just did a song. Yes, I'm so excited about it. And it's an inspirational song. And then I'm co-authored a bunch of books too. So those are on Amazon.com as well.
Okay, but what about the song? Where do people access that?
So get on the website. There's a gift at the bottom of my website that I give to people, and they can sign up on the website. And then as soon as it gets out there, deposit it. And it's great. It's did it together with a buddy, Simba. So it's a Simca song. Life can be difficult. At times it weighs you down, but that's no reason to go through every day with a frown. Yeah, it's Dancing with Riches. Awesome. Nice. Yes.
Wow, that is wonderful. I can't wait to go get it.
Yes. And I get that it's really that we've done some rhythm with it together with a friend of mine. That is actually an invitation for people to not go into Alzheimer's and dementia. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. So it's great.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, my gosh, as I said, thank you. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Hey friends, this is Jim Knight, former 21-year Hard Rock executive turned best-selling author and top 10 keynote speaker.
And I'm Brant Menswar, former frontman of Hollywood's most dangerous band turned top 10 motivational speaker and best-selling author.
We host the how-to podcast Thoughts That Rock, where we talk to rock stars, athletes, CEOs, astronauts, and even next-door neighbors who share their expertise and opinions. Together, we tackle the most interesting and challenging topics of today.
Whether you want to learn how to become more confident, how to deal with anxiety at work,
or how to write a hit song, or use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in life,
we've got hundreds of episodes to help amp up your life and move you forward.
Subscribe to Thoughts That Rock wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out evergreenpodcast.com for more information.